Support for State Week comes from the following sponsors: the Illinois Education Association, Visit Springfield, and PyOrg.
From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
Well, we finally saw some legislation move aimed at keeping the Chicago Bears playing in the state of Illinois, but is it a done deal? And also, it appears a push for a so-called millionaire's tax may have fallen short. We'll talk about that and more coming up on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, Professor Emeritus and former Director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Charlie's also been a longtime reporter and observer. And our guest this week, it's Brendan Moore with Capital News Illinois. Brendan, it's always good to have you back with us. And also wanted to mention you're starting a new product. It's been going for a couple of months with Capital News, and it's called Capital News Insider.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Sean. CNI Insider is kind of a new product for people that want a little bit more than the inside baseball, I guess, if you will, what's happening under the Capitol Dome. So we have a little tab on our website, capitalnewsillinois.com. That's Capital News Insider. And you can sign up for an email that we send out 2 days a week. So we hope people will check it out.
All right. Well, let's get started this week with the show and something you've been following, the long-discussed Chicago Bears new stadium efforts. There has been talk of where they're going to play in the future. They want to move from Soldier Field. So a mega projects bill, as it's called, has won House approval. It's an attempt to prevent the Bears from building a stadium in Indiana, basically. They have property in Arlington Heights in the Chicago suburbs, and there's talk they want to build a stadium there, and the state would like to keep them in Illinois, so that's where this comes from. This provides tax incentives for the Bears, and that's not all. Brendan, give us an idea how this would work.
Yeah, so-called mega projects bill, but it's more than a mega projects bill. It's really a larger economic development package. At least that's what it became in the House. But at the heart of it is what they call a mega projects provision that would allow, in this case, the Bears, or in other cases, larger private developers, the opportunity to negotiate a payment in lieu of taxes with local taxing bodies for larger developments. And there's a kind of a tiered scale, at least in this bill, where you'd have to invest at least $100 million, and then they have tiers for $500 million and $1 billion. If you're at that highest tier, which the Bears would be, you would have the ability to negotiate with local taxing bodies for up to 40 years, kind of lock in that property tax payment. The Bears have said that they need this kind of certainty to build on the land that they own in Arlington Heights. This legislation, I mean, it was proposed, I think, 3 years ago was the first time it kind of popped up, but it had been kind of languishing for years. It really did not have a lot of support, and it really wasn't until earlier this year when we started to hear about Indiana possibly being a destination for the Bears if they couldn't get anything in Illinois. And then in recent weeks, not just pressure from the Bears, but the NFL now is putting pressure on the Bears to make a decision. Lawmakers are finally kind of spurred into action, if you will. It was hard getting to this point in the House. There was a lot of skepticism about this concept, but when they put it on the board on Wednesday, it passed with a 78-32 roll call. You had 68 Democrats and 10 Republicans on it. The bill that was it was amended, and the new language was introduced a few days ago. It was different from a bill that passed committee in February. It was about 10 times the size in terms of page numbers. Basically, there were provisions that were added to try to entice some of those votes. I would say the biggest one that was added was a property tax relief provision that would basically require half of the pilot payment to go to property tax rebates, 60% of those being in to folks that live in taxing districts that where there is a mega project, and 40% into the state's property tax rebate fund. And so that was added as a, if we're going to give large developers a tax break, then regular folks should get something too. The problem with that, obviously, could be that who is to say that the taxing bodies, the school district, the municipalities won't just ask for double in their pilot, knowing that half of it's going to be siphoned away for property tax relief. So that is a provision that I think may get revisited. But I should also add too, just very quickly, I mean, because there are other economic development provisions in this bill. There's a provision that expands the use of star bonds, so-called star bonds, which basically allow for a state portion of the sales tax to be used to pay down bonding for infrastructure for larger economic development projects. So this bill would expand that. It would allow for star bonds to be used in Chicago for some larger developments, including near Soldier Field, the so-called One Central project that's kind of been languishing for a few years. There's a provision there for rail yards, underutilized rail yards, economic development, redeveloping those, which again could help near Soldier Field, could help perhaps the future owner of the White Sox build a new ballpark in the South Loop. And then there's obviously a big provision in there for the city of Springfield that would give mechanisms to allow for the expansion, to fund the expansion of the BOS Center in downtown Springfield, and perhaps to build a new hotel to support some of that convention business. So this really, the mega projects aspect is kind of at the heart of it. Obviously there's the Bears component, but this really did become kind of a Christmas tree of sorts, economic development bill, which again can be is good when you can it can attract more votes, but also the risk is that these bills can collapse under their own weight. So the Senate has made clear, and the governor made clear that there are probably changes coming. The governor actually had some comments this morning where he basically said that there's a need for speed to get this done, but the Senate has some work to do. There will be amendments. He's confident there will be a good bill at the end of it.
Charlie, you've watched a lot of tax incentive legislation for various developments through the years, big projects, maybe not even as big projects at times. What are your thoughts on this one?
One of the things I found interesting was from what I read, and obviously I wasn't there for the meetings, you can correct me if I'm wrong. It appeared to me that this new amendment, this mega amendment, so to speak, had a lot of provisions that nobody else knew about other than Buckner. That kind of took the Senate by surprise, took Pritzker by surprise, took the Bears by surprise. And so that's probably what's going to get negotiated around and maybe out. The whole question of the property tax relief, I think that's added to address the notion that Democrats are stressing about affordability, and that because of the Trump administration in Washington, ordinary people are having a harder time making ends meet. So here we're going to help them out with their property taxes. So that is interesting. And the fact that there's money put in there for development within the city of Chicago, that strikes me as a way of, what would you say, kind of making up for the fact that the Bears have been a Chicago institution for Lord knows maybe 100 years since they moved up from Decatur. And losing the Bears is a sort of a blow to the city's pride. Now, moving to Arlington Heights is really not that big a deal, as opposed to if they were to go to Hammond, Indiana. So I think in my mind, this is a good step forward. And I think Buckner also pointed out that we're focusing on the Bears, but this mega project legislation, the structure that's being developed, would also enable us, the state of Illinois, to go after other mega projects in other areas and compete with some of the other states that already have this kind of legislation. So I guess we'll see where it goes from here, but it should be an interesting next month.
Is there any idea, Brendan, real quick, on what the timeline? I know we're talking about trying to get this before the end of the session. Is that a true deadline? Do we really think that the Bears are going to make a deal with Indiana if this doesn't get approved this session?
Yeah, I don't want to put a date on it, but I think it's clear that from all the major stakeholders that something probably needs to happen well before the May 31st adjournment date. That this is not one of those things that it's not going to be like, keeping the White Sox where you stop the clock at midnight. This is going to have to happen before that if the Illinois wants to keep the Bears. Next week there's a big meeting. The NFL's stadium committee, which is comprised of owners, is having a meeting, and the only topic of discussion is the Bear Stadium situation. They want an update. The NFL is growing impatient with the Bears. They want to know where they're going to be. And I know that there was a there's a growing belief in the building in Governor Pritzker's office that if they hadn't passed anything out this week out of the House, that the Bears were probably going to go to Indiana. Now that there's been this sign of progress, perhaps there's a little more leeway to let the Senate work through their process. They're only in for 3 days next week. It's kind of a tight window. But the week after, both the House and the Senate are back in. So I think that might be a week to watch in terms of getting something done, a couple of weeks, which would still be like first week of May. So I think this is something that will probably get done, if it gets done, earlier in May. I was telling folks that earlier in the week in the building, it felt like May in the Capitol, that there was that urgency there. And I think sometimes the legislature kind of needs a deadline to get something done. And I think the message has been received that this is probably something that again, can't wait until the very end.
You're listening to State Week. I'm Sean Crawford, along with Charlie Wheeler in Capital News Illinois' Brendan Moore. More in a moment.
Support for State Week comes from the members of the Illinois Education Association. Serving 135,000 members of educators and support professionals around Illinois. IEA's mission is to promote excellence and equity in public education. When schools and communities unite, we all win. Resources and membership information at ieanea.org.
We're back on State Week. And Charlie, let me turn to you because something did not make it through this week. The millionaire's tax, it's called, basically a surcharge on people that have these high incomes. And it's been something that a lot of Democrats have pushed for a long time. There to make this happen, of course, the state has to change its flat tax, and it would require a constitutional amendment. There is a deadline in the first week of May, and it looks as though that's not going to happen at this point.
Well, I guess it's pretty safe to say that it will not happen because the House has left and they're not going to be back before the deadline for putting constitutional amendments on the ballot in November. And as a matter of fact, House Speaker Chris Welch said that the issue will be revisited in the future. And so that would make 2028 as the soonest option. It would have brought in, as you said, Sean, it would have imposed a 3% surcharge on income above $1 million. And it would have brought in varying estimates, but the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability pegged the number at $2.1 billion annually and calculated that maybe 1% of the people in Illinois would pay the tax. The amendment got blowback in a couple of quarters. One, the business community didn't like it. They argued that a lot of small businesses file as individuals and not as corporate tax, and so this would hit them very hard. And there was also some concern because the amendment as structured would have split the money that would be raised between property tax relief and public schools, but the language of the amendment would distribute the public school funds on a per pupil basis, and that could undermine the state's existing evidence-based funding formula that's been around since, oh gosh, almost 10 years, that basically looks at all the school districts looks at what their needs are, looks at what their local resources are, and then funnels the bulk of state funds every year towards the schools that their local resources are farthest away from what their needs are. And so if we did it just on a per pupil basis, some of the richest school districts would get the same amount of money as some of the poorest school districts. So that was a big problem with some Democrats. So this has been put off. There was an advisory referendum a couple of years ago, and people seemed to think that this is a great idea, but the votes were not there. And so now the next time, as Chris Welch says, the next time we'll talk about it will be in 2028.
Mm. Brendan, are you a little surprised this didn't get more support, that this didn't happen? Find some way, like Charlie mentioned, some of the issues that had come up, but maybe find a way to work around that, because there's a lot of progressives that like this idea. There are a lot of progressives in the Democratic caucus and the legislature. So I was a little surprised they didn't at least get this advanced.
I was not super surprised, because while there are a lot of progressives in the Democratic caucus, there's a lot of moderate members as well. And as we all know, the constitutional amendment is a higher bar. You need that 3/5 majority. So 71 votes, there are 78 Democrats, technically only 76 in the caucus, because two have been booted. So you really could only lose, you know, a handful of Democrats. And there was clearly a pushback among the so-called mod caucus on this measure. And honestly, I mean, it kind of came out of the blue. Like, you know, obviously Speaker Welch has been pushing this issue since the beginning of the year, but it was not really viewed as something that was going to come up this week, that, you know, because clearly Governor Pritzker, while he supports the concept of some form of graduated tax, he has not really made it a priority since the failure of the 2020 Fair Tax Amendment. And he said as much earlier this year, I believe a couple of weeks ago, Senate President Don Harmon pretty much threw cold water on the idea of a millionaire's tax this year. So the view was kind of that, you know, even if it passed the House, it was unlikely to be considered in the Senate. And then obviously you have the question of, you know, coordinating, you know, who's going to fund this campaign, and, you know, does the governor get involved again? Do the unions get involved? Like, what is the what's the strategy? If you talk to people under the dome, some will point to the increasing, I guess, muscle flexing of the Illinois Federation of Teachers, which last year, Stacey Davis Gates, who's the president of the Chicago Teachers Union, ascended to the presidency of the statewide union. They've really been pushing this tax, especially as the House tried to get the mega projects bill out this week. There was the teachers who have opposed that bill have also said, hey, you know, if you're going to push that, then you also need to get this millionaire's tax, because we need the revenue for our schools. So I think that was partly weighing on Speaker Welch as he decided to try to make this happen. But clearly there just was not enough support within the caucus to move it forward at this time.
You're listening to State Week. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Support for State Week comes from PIORG, a nonprofit consulting firm providing resources for strategic planning, best practice implementation, and outcomes-focused program evaluation across the country, helping organizations make data understandable and actionable, enabling changemakers to strengthen critical skills and serve others more effectively. PI, Plan, Implement, Evaluate. Services and information at PIORG.org.
This is State Week. The legislature this week was able to advance something about redistricting, which is interesting because we usually don't hear much talk about redistricting at this point of cycle, mid-decade. Still a few years away from the next political map-making process, but Democrats advanced a measure that would create a new list of what needs to be considered when drawing district boundaries. So, Brendan, real quick, what's making this come up now?
Yeah, this kind of came up out of the blue last week. It was just introduced last week. But basically, what this amendment would do. Right now, Illinois, the requirement for its legislative districts are for them to be continuous, compact, and substantially equal in population. This would add elements that would basically add protections for minority representation. It would require that no citizen is denied equal opportunity to participate in the political process to elect their representatives on account of race, and where practical, racial coalition or influence districts be drawn. So this is a direct response to what's happening at the federal government level. So right now there's a case before the Supreme Court that could strike down the provision in the Federal Voting Rights Act that bans the splitting of minority groups into a bunch of districts as a means of diluting their voting power. So, as we know, Illinois has some pretty egregiously gerrymandered maps, but they're partisan gerrymanders. It's a Democrat gerrymander, which is allowed under the Constitution. There is no ban on partisan gerrymandering, but there is currently a ban on racial gerrymandering. You can't draw a district meant to dilute the voting power of minorities. But if the Supreme Court strikes down that provision, then that protection won't necessarily be there. While I think most of us would say that in Illinois, like, the danger really isn't there. I mean, the Democrats have super majorities in the governor's office. So I don't think that they would be trying to dilute minority districts, but this would put it, enshrine it in the Constitution to ensure that in the future, at least, that those protections are in place, at least at the state level for state legislative districts for the General Assembly. So this passed the House 74-38. That one had no problem getting the votes. It goes to the Senate, which could take it up. We have not heard anything officially from the Senate side, but important to note that they would have to vote on this by May 3rd or for it to get on the ballot in November. And it just requires a Senate vote. The governor is not involved in this, but yeah, that's kind of the onus is, again, another way Illinois is responding to what is happening at the federal level.
It should be noted that there's going to be a certain sense of urgency in the Senate, because under the Constitution, amendments have to be read in full on 3 separate days, and they can't do it like with legislation where you just read the bill title. You have to read the whole thing from start to finish, and they have to be identical. So if the Senate were to say, "Oh, we want to change this," then that would kill the whole thing.
Your thoughts on why they're doing this now? Do you think this is needed? Because Republicans are saying this is just an effort for Democrats to try to maintain control.
Well, I think that what Welch said is probably the main reason. That very concerned that the U.S. Supreme Court, in its current composition, will toss out the rest of the Voting Rights Act and leave the door open for what occurred for many years, where minority communities were split up. As a matter of fact, I think it was Representative Teresa Ma, who's a Chicago Democrat and who is the state's first Asian American elected to the General Assembly, said that the greater Chinatown community, where she's from in her district, was previously split up into 4 state house districts, preventing the Asian community from electing one of their own. Now, Chinatown is basically in one district. And so Ma said on the floor, "I am here in this chamber, the first Asian American representative in Illinois history, elected in 2016, almost 200 years into our state's history, because of the Voting Rights Act and because of our state's own work to guarantee that minority voices are not only heard, but have meaningful representation in their government." And so the concern is that if the U.S. Supreme Court says, "No, you can't take into account those kinds of things," that those safeguards would no longer be there in the future. Yeah, as we said, it's not very likely that in the next redistricting, which would be after the census in 2030, that the Democrats won't have control of the process. But who knows further on down the road.
All right. It's time now for our notes from the field. And Brendan, we'll start with you this week.
Speaker Chris Welch took a bit of a victory lap after the mega projects bill passed. He had a press conference. So reporters, we took our chance to ask him about something that has kind of been burning under the surface in Springfield, which is he booted State Rep Harry Benton from the Democratic caucus a few months ago, but has declined to comment on the nature of that. We've since reported that there was an allegation of sexual harassment made against Representative Benton. The speaker reluctantly acknowledged the situation, but he said he was not going to comment because there is a process in place that he wants to ensure that there's due process. We have also confirmed that there is a report with the Legislative Inspector General's office. They are investigating. The LIG's office obviously declined comment, and it should be noted that they do not release their reports publicly unless the allegation is founded.
All right. And Charlie?
Well, the governor earlier this week issued an executive order that would bar state employees from using insider information to bet on prediction market apps. Six other states have similar prohibitions, and it goes into effect immediately. The apps, I guess one is called Kalshi, another is Polymarket, and the various others, and people can bet on everything from the results of elections, baseball scores, even war outcomes. And so the governor has said that this opens the door to insider trading and abuse of confidential information. While the Trump administration continues to be riddled with stories of appointees looking to make a profit, Illinois is stepping up to ensure those who are serving the public, not their own personal financial gain. So the governor, of course, didn't miss the opportunity to take a slam at Trump. Interestingly enough, there was a AP story that came out a day or so after the governor's executive order, where a special forces soldier involved in the military operations to capture Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has been charged with using classified information about the mission to win more than $400,000 in an online betting market. The AP also reported earlier that a group of new accounts on Polymarket made highly specific, well-timed bets on whether the U.S. and Iran would reach a ceasefire, resulting in hundreds of thousands of dollars in profits for those new customers. So apparently if you have inside information, you can maybe parlay it into making a lot of money.
All right, well, that's all the time we have for this episode of State Week. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler and Brendan Moore with Capital News Illinois. Look for State Week where you get your podcasts through the NPR app and at nprillinois.org. I'm Sean Crawford. Join us next time.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.
Support for State Week comes from Visit Springfield, featuring dozens of attractions and overnights on Route 66 in the capital city. Springfield is home to numerous Lincoln sites, Frank Lloyd Wright's Dana Thomas House, the Illinois State Capitol, and more. The Visit Springfield team can help organizers plan their event in the capital city. Attractions and tourism information at visitspringfieldillinois.com.